Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Danny, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to the show. Today is Wednesday, October 24th, a day after the mega deal.
Is that what they call it?
Mega Millions.
Close enough.
Yeah. And we did not win.
No, I'm sorry. I made you $5 less rich.
Yeah. If we're on the air today, we did not win.
Yeah. Didn't even win off the scratch ticket.
We wouldn't be here.
Sucks.
I don't know where I'd be, but I would not be here.
No, we would definitely be here. Yeah. And then we'd be planning what the hell we were going to do.
With $1.6 billion friggin' dollars, man. One person won it.
One person. I thought it was going to be multiple people had the winning number.
I know, because there's so many people buying it. But it just shows you how hard it is to win.
Yeah, because I guess they sold over like 5 billion tickets.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. And but it shows you how it seems easy, right? Oh, five numbers, you know, no mm-hmm. big deal.
Mm-hmm.
But to get them in the right order and all that, right? You mm-hmm. have to get them in order too? No.
You have to get
right?
them in order.
Yeah.
Actually, I don't know if that's true.
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, you do, I guess. Yeah. I don't know if that's true.
I don't think it's true.
I don't think that's true.
No, because it doesn't make sense because...
I think you just have to, like, so if you get the Powerball number and then you get, like, two or three, you win $1 million.
Well, I guess it's in order anyway, going from lowest to highest, you know? Who
Mm-mm.
cares? No?
No. But I don't think, whatever. I think you just need to have the numbers.
Yeah. I think that's it. So you're not happy about that,
no.
I imagine, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We have a guest. Zoriana's here. We'll bring her on in a few minutes. But she's checking her ticket right now to make sure she's not the right billionaire, actually. And maybe it was Southern California instead of South Carolina.
I wish.
Yeah.
I wish.
Let's welcome Zoriana Kitt to the show. Welcome, Zoriana.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for joining once again.
Maybe I want a smaller amount. I mean, I still need to check.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, you still should. I still should check the tickets.
Yeah.
Because just because we didn't win the actual Powerball, we could still win $1 million.
Yeah, well, be happy to win one out of the six there.
I mean, yeah, last Friday when it was $1 billion. I mean, I won $2.
Oh, wow. So changing lives. $2.
Yeah, totally life-changing experience.
I mean, I had the power number. That's all I had last Friday. I had the power number, and that was worth $2. So was the ticket. So I guess I just...
You got your money back.
Got my money
back. Oh, well, next time.
Next time.
So Zoriana, we'll get to movies and everything today. We're going to talk about you saw Bohemian Rhapsody, right?
We will rock you.
Oh,
yes.
Yeah.
That looked pretty good, the preview.
I saw the preview. The preview did look entertaining, but I'm just not into that music. So I'd be like, if I watched it.
Yeah, you wouldn't be into it.
Like, I just, even when, who are those guys?
Queen.
No, not them. The movie with the two stupid dudes.
Oh, Dumb and Dumber?
No, Wayne Wonder.
Wayne's World.
Even when they had the Queen part in that movie, I was like, shut the fuck up. So, yeah, not a movie I would go see.
But by the way, Mike Myers does have a part in the Queen movie. So
really?
That's so funny.
Yeah.
Wow.
He hasn't been in a movie in so long.
That's true, right?
Yeah, he just like fell off the face of the earth.
Maybe that's why they put him in this movie, because of Wayne's World.
Yeah, maybe so.
What does it have to do with anything?
No, maybe he's a massive fan.
Yeah.
Such a fan that he decided to put it in Wayne's World. So then when they were doing the movie, they were like, why don't you do a part in
right.
the Queen movie?
Yeah.
Could be true.
Yeah.
So we'll talk about movies and everything else. I just want to ask Danny if there's any progress. Did you get
with the guy?
Text? Yeah, did you get text?
He actually called me.
Oh.
This is the Lamborghini guy?
Yeah, he called me yesterday.
I didn't know he had a Lamborghini.
Yeah, he has a Lamborghini.
Really?
I got anxiety when I got into it because I don't like those cars.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So this guy's definitely showing off all his dispensary income there.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, so he called me yesterday around noon and he told me that he was back. And that he told me that he wants to invest all the money that I need for my podcast anything I need to pay for gas, to pay for this, to pay for that, he'll pay for it as long as when I blow up, he gets a percent.
Really?
A percent of what?
So we plan on putting our podcast on iTunes and Spotify, and you get paid off that, depending on how many streams you get. Okay. And I'm hoping we get up to like 5 million per episode.
You think you will?
Yes.
Based on what?
She has a larger fan base than I do.
Who's she?
Mom, my co-host is a girl I did Bad Girls Club with. And it's called Swallow It.
You're not going to have millions of views, I'm telling you.
Yeah, we will.
You don't know the podcast 110%. World, I'm telling you.
I know. 110%. It's about birds. It's about swallows.
Right.
It's about swallows.
I think we're going to be good. Yeah. No, I think it'll take like 6-7 months.
I don't think you're going to get to these numbers. I mean, I'm not.
I think we will. I don't think. I think it'll take a long time to get to like 5 mil. But I think it'll be easy to get to a million.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
How many followers does she have?
She has almost 500,000.
Okay,
that's
and that's
just
meaningless because most people are not going to listen.
Everyone's going to listen. Okay, people we'll freak see. Out when we're together.
I hope I'm wrong. But I've seen this.
It's a gamble. It's
people
definitely a gamble.
People throw numbers in the air and it's all nothing.
Yeah. I mean, I hope it works out because that's how I hope I make money because I don't want a fucking regular job.
I hear you.
Listen, you have an investor. Most people dream of that.
Right.
Congratulations. Hats off.
Right.
That's
if you keep him around at any point. You know, that's the problem though.
No, I told him he had to sign a contract. I'm not yeah,
doing
word of mouth.
He still could have you under his thumb, you know, by controlling you because of the money, you know
what I mean,
like saying, you know, this that because I'm paying for it, so this is how you have to
do it.
He
said he wants to be a silent partner. He doesn't care what we talk about.
Yeah, but he might. Wouldn't it? Okay, what happens if you guys break up?
We're not together.
Okay,
so.
But what if you were? You will be if you continue, if you have your way.
If we break up, then it's all down to paperwork. I told him I'm not going to take a penny from you unless you sign a contract. Because like business and pleasure obviously isn't like the best mix.
Right.
Yeah.
That's why you got to think whether you want to do it with the same guy or just, you know what? Get the money. Don't get involved with him. Find another guy. But this is your opportunity.
I've never had someone like believe in me like that before, though.
That's cool.
Yeah. So, I mean, that was good. That was that conversation. Then he said his dad was in town. And then he like said some comment about how like every girl that he's introduced his dad to like thinks he's handsome. And I go, okay, cool story, bro. And then he called me after dinner and he's like, do you want to meet my dad while he's here? I was like, okay,
yeah, I'll meet your dad, whatever.
And did you?
No. I've only talked to him on the phone. I haven't seen him in over a week.
Okay, so you see, so he's into you. He called you, right?
Yeah.
After 3 days. Did you ask him why?
Nope.
Good.
I didn't.
See, that's the thing. Don't put him on the spot.
And he's not my man.
Right.
And I know he was in New York and he was busy. But he did tell me he didn't hook up with anybody when he was there.
Yeah, that's what he would say.
Yeah. But he told me he could have had a threesome with two Spanish girls and he chose not to.
Really?
I was like, okay.
Well, at least he admitted to that.
Hey, listen, he's investing in your business. That's
exactly.
Right.
Everything
he can have
else
as many
doesn't
threesomes
matter.
As he wants with whatever ethnicities he wants.
Right. That's what I said. At the end of the day, just do what you say you're going to do and I don't really care. But right. I won't sleep with you again.
Yeah. Okay, well, so you're making progress. We're happy to hear that.
Hopefully.
Yeah.
We'll see how it goes when I see him.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it's different every day.
It is. Every single, that's why I'm like, I told Camilla, I was like, hey, he wants to like invest. And she was like, I'm definitely with it, but he's really up and down. Mm. I was like, that's when the paperwork comes in.
Yeah.
That's when up it has to come in. Yeah.
Wow. I don't know about up and down, man. That sounds pretty bad to me.
What?
Up and down, you know? I'd like something stable.
I know. But I'm not stable, so it's like... Mm.
Yeah, but you got to make your life stable if you want to be able to have like a regular income, steady income and all that.
I know.
But you already know that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, Zoriana, what's new? How's it going with you?
Oh, my gosh. It's going really good. I was in Chicago over the weekend.
Really?
Yeah.
Doing
was
what?
It cold?
It was hailing, actually, at one point.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
I don't miss that at all.
What were you doing in Chicago?
So there's, being Ukrainian, I'm really tied to my Ukrainian roots. And the Ukrainian community in Chicago is huge. And they were having an event called Ukrainians in Hollywood. And so they flew me up to Chicago, and there was an evening of Ukrainian culture, Ukrainians in Hollywood, and they honored my work in journalism, and I said this speech, and there were three other people from Hollywood as well. My friend Hala, who's the costume designer for the TV show This Is Us, she was also being honored.
I love that show.
Yeah, she does all the costumes for the, and she's been nominated for Emmys for that. And the Ukrainian Cultural Center there is in a section of town literally called Ukrainian Village. Like there's that many people that they have their own, like, you know, there's Chinatown, but in Chicago, there's Ukrainian Village, Ukrainian restaurants, Ukrainian banks, Ukrainian everything. And it was amazing to just walk down the street and just be right in the middle of that. I felt so at home and so comfortable. And afterwards, I talked to so many different people.
Oh, that's the fire alarm. Oh. It'll go on. That's
there we go.
It.
It's off.
We don't have to leave the building?
No, no. They're just testing it.
Okay, because I was like, I'm about to be out. Like, that's not how I picture my death.
It's a test. They put notes. It would have been a lot louder probably, too, if there was
You're
fire.
Like, I'm about to get a podcast started. I have to live.
Yeah. See ya. Goodbye. Run so fast down the stairs. Like, I've never worked out before or anything.
So, yeah, it was really fun because it was really nice to be really immersed in my culture, and everyone there was so happy for our success.
Right.
You know, you get these communities where everyone gets really jealous of people's successes.
Right. Which is LA.
Yeah. But here it was the Ukrainian community were so proud that someone of their culture was, you know, doing well in Hollywood.
Right.
It was very sweet.
Very good. Well, viva the Ukraine. Yeah. What can I say?
Yeah.
So there's a large community there. Here, not so much?
Not so much. There is a Ukrainian cultural center here. I used to be a board member. And there's three Ukrainian churches, one Catholic, two Orthodox. LA is so spread out.
Yeah.
So spread out that there is no centralized place. Right. And so therefore it's just impossible to have a close-knit community when you're so spread out. And I think that just goes for everyone in LA, no matter what ethnicity.
Right,
you are.
I think so too.
That's true. Yeah. That's true. And that's why social life is hard for many people here.
Yeah.
You know, because the distances and there's no like cliques and groups, you know. It's just like unless there's some stereotypes, like, but they're true. Like many Armenians live in Glendale, for example, right?
Yeah.
So we know that, you know. Also, many Persians live in Beverly Hills, for example.
Yeah,
you know, things
that's
like
very
that,
true.
So.
Yeah.
So there you go. Things like that, you know. Many Jews and Israelis in the valley. So, everybody.
And then every other race is just like really spread out.
Yeah, exactly.
Like white, black.
Yeah.
Mexican,
exactly.
Just planted all across.
Yeah.
Exactly. You know, his background.
Yeah, it's true. And the Ukrainian community is really not, it's just, there is no centralized location.
Right. Cool. So, all right. Well, so your life is going well. You went to Chicago. You're happy.
Mm-hmm. I am.
Good. Any other trips coming up for you that you know of? Unless somebody invites you to Ukrainian events in Florida or something.
Right. Exactly. I'd like to know what the Ukrainian community does in Florida. Yeah, that would be nice.
Exactly. Fly me over there. I'll find out for you.
Totally. I haven't been to Florida since I was 11.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Huh. Yeah, I've been there a couple times, but
now's
been
not a
while.
Good time. All the hurricanes.
Yeah, no.
No thanks.
No thanks.
Yeah, no,
I'm
no.
Good.
We'll stay here.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Zoriana always comes in. We talk about movies and everything because that's her passion, that's her love, and we're gonna get into that. Have you, Danny? Have you seen any new movies lately? What's the newest you've seen?
I haven't seen shit.
Nothing on Netflix.
It's so crazy.
Anything like TV?
No, but
on
I do want to watch that Netflix show that just came out, the horror one. I think it's
Haunting
like
Haunting of Hill House.
Yeah, I heard it's terrifying.
I watched the first episode last night because again, like everyone's talking about
it. Yeah, yeah, right.
So I watched the first episode last night. I won't talk about it until you've seen it because there's no point in talking about it with you.
Right.
Because you do want to disgusting.
Right.
Yeah. Really? Yeah.
So my sister watched it in one night. She binge watched it, she said that she was petrified and like slept with the lights on after. She was like, I couldn't do it.
Well, once the show ended that hour, I was like, no, don't leave me hanging. Like, I'm like, I'd like to continue the next episode, but I also want to go to bed.
Right. Yeah. Like, right. See, I can't do that when I do Netflix. I will fight through my sleep.
You will.
I'm like, play. Like a psychopath. I watched the first season of Riverdale for 11 hours straight, literally.
I'm embarrassed how much I enjoyed that show. Yeah. That and 13 Reasons Why. Yeah. I'm like, what?
I didn't really like the second season of that.
I stopped after the second episode of the second season. But
really?
Yeah.
Why? Too depressing or what?
No, it was just that I just kind of had enough.
Yeah, yeah.
Enough of all that stuff. But yeah, it's some of those shows geared towards teens. I initially started watching it because I have a 15-year-old and she watched it, and I was like, I better know what the kids are watching. Right. So I'm part of.
I mean, the suicide scene was very graphic for a viewer. Mm-hmm. I was like, this is really intense for me. Like, and I can handle like a lot, but I think it's because it was so sad and depressing and also like very vivid.
Yeah.
It's crazy how they filmed it because it actually looked like she killed herself on camera. And I was like, wow.
Yeah. But when all the 15-year-olds are watching that and you have a 15-year-old child, it's probably best that you watch
110%.
So you know. But then I thought, I'll watch a few episodes and then that'll be enough. But I really got into it.
Right. Yeah. Really first season I binge watched. Yeah, second season too. I was like spread out. It was like, oh, I'll finish it whenever I get to it.
Yeah. Do you have any favorite shows, ongoing shows, series?
Yeah, there's I'm really into the show Stranger Things. And
I never watched it. I think I might be the only person besides Sam, obviously.
Well, yeah, well, I watched the first one.
Well, see, I was late to the game because I didn't watch the first season. And then one day I decided to sit down and see what it was all about. And then I binge watched it. And then when season two came out in October, I was in Amsterdam, actually, and I never quite connected to the new time difference. So in the middle of the night, I was wide awake and I binged the entire second season in Amsterdam at night. And so within 2 days of the show coming out, I was like, okay, when's season three?
Yeah.
Wow. So basically, I've been waiting since October for season three.
Did you ever see the movie on Netflix, Sarah Burgess is a Loser, with the star from Stranger Things?
No, but it looks good.
It was cute, a little disappointing. But she can sing.
She can?
Yeah. She's a beautiful voice. She just showcased it in that movie, and I was shocked. Like, gorgeous voice.
The thing I like that Netflix is starting to do now, because they do so much original programming, is they're taking some of their Netflix stars from TV shows and putting them in Netflix original movies. Mm-hmm. And I think that's really smart, because Dylan Minnette from 13 Reasons Why, like the lead kid,
right,
the nerdy guy, he's in a Netflix original horror film right now.
It's horrible.
So it's terrible.
It's like horrible.
The worst horror film I've ever
seen. I was like, why would you ever agree to do this?
I know, but that's the thing. Maybe there was some type of contractual thing that they're making those kids do, which is smart for Netflix.
Yeah. Not really smart for him.
No.
Because that movie was trash.
Oh my God, yeah.
Did you finish it?
I finished it because I felt like I had
to. And they both died.
I mean, it's just...
what kind of movie is this when both the people die?
And like, they're in the house and it's just like the phones don't work. I mean, everything was so
cliche.
So cliche.
And then the ending was just like, so you're just going to get away with murder and drive off.
And it's then, like, and so this murderer has really no motivation. He's just choosing this house and choosing these people. Like,
right.
It's not like there's some complicated history
right.
that would make you go, oh, okay, there's a grudge or
right.
there's a long family lineage of
right.
It's just like, no, he just picked this house.
When I watch movies like that from beginning to end, it makes me think that I could really write a script and sell it, because if that piece of shit got made, my piece of shit that I write could get made too. Like, that's what I think. I'm like, let me sit down and come up with some bullshit ass story like this one and sell it.
It was the one of the worst. I mean, really, it's if you're going to do a top 10 list of the worst horror movies,
it was definitely on there.
It would be.
I wouldn't
on
even
there.
Consider that horror.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like at all.
Yeah.
At all.
Okay. Well,
Sam's so, like, I have no idea what you guys are talking about.
I know. You're like, you left me somewhere there behind.
No man left behind. We're sorry.
The Stranger Things, I was curious to see it, so I saw the first one. And
did
it
you
was
like
great
it?
Until, you know, I think maybe the second one too. And then it started getting weird. And I thought, you know, I don't get into weird stuff. I don't know why. But that's why it's called Stranger Things, you know, because there's a lot of strange stuff happening there. So I didn't get into it, but I appreciate that it's a big show. A lot of people watch it.
I know. Everyone keeps telling me to watch it.
Yeah. You know what I really, really appreciate about that show? And it's so smart of them to set it in the 80s. Because if you were to do a show with young kids today, like 13 Reasons Why, technology has to be a big part of what you're doing. Everyone has a cell phone. Mm. Everyone can text.
Right.
You can't not get a signal. You call your friends and you instantly meet them. Mm-hmm. But when it's set in the 80s and there are no cell phones, you're having adventures.
Right.
You
have
to bike there. You have to tell your friend to meet you there at that time. And if they're not there, you need to find out why, where did they went. Mm-hmm. And so there is so much more cinematic excitement you could create in a world where cell phones and computers don't exist, because you Google it and you solve your murder.
Right.
But here, because it's set in the 80s and you're dealing with the underground worlds and things like that, people disappear and they reappear and there's all sorts of things happening, but the cell phones and computers don't factor in to save the day.
Right.
You know, and, and you can have so much dramatic license without that technology.
That's true.
Right. And our kids will never know it.
I know. It's so
they
sad.
Never lived through that.
When I was a kid, there was nothing. We had to literally walk everywhere. You know, like it was just different. Now it's just like Marcellus is already like on an iPad and like asking mom for a cell. Mom, my sister.
And by the way, in no time, he'll be calling Uber and getting picked up and being driven somewhere.
Right. That's crazy.
You know, whereas before you have to like, Mom, can you drive me? Oh, when will you be back? Okay, 3 hours? Okay, like now it's just like, Mom, I'm taking an Uber.
Uber's been having a lot of like issues lately though.
Yeah, right?
Like
yeah.
There's been like a lot of like shit going down. I don't feel comfortable taking Uber anymore.
I'm taking Lyft.
And everyone always judges me because I take Lyft Pool. Number one, it's cheaper, people.
Oh my God, it's the Lyft
Pool? So much cheaper. Mm, it's like a $10 trip is really $2 now. Sometimes it's a Lyft Pool, but you don't pick anybody else up.
Remember when Lyft used to put those pink mustaches on the front of their car?
Yeah. People probably complain, like, we don't fucking want this.
Yeah, it's not cool. It's not cool.
It's not a good look.
It's like Sesame Street or something. Yeah.
But I always take Lyft Pool because I feel like I don't know this driver and I'd rather there be a witness in the car if some shit's going down.
That's the debate I had with someone this morning. Do you go by yourself or do a pool? What's safer, to be by yourself or to be with another stranger?
It depends. So if you can look at it both ways. If you want the comfort that someone knows that you're in this lift and like whatever, like you're not by yourself with some creepy driver, cool, definitely better to take.
So like a witness.
Yeah, a witness. Yeah. But it also could be creepy because you don't know the person you're sharing the car with. And what if he gets infatuated with you and you're getting dropped off at your crib? And then all of a sudden he knows your address.
Oh.
So it could be either or.
Yeah.
Like sometimes I'd be wondering that. Like I told Sam, tell me if I'm out of line here. Sam doesn't think the guy was out of line, but I took Uber by myself from a club a couple like months ago and I was crying. I had like one of those like too much tequila nights. Go to bed, Danielle. And the guy like was like, do you want me to bring you to get ice cream? And I thought that was completely inappropriate.
Is that what he said, or did he say, do you want to get...
No, he goes, do you want me to take you to go get ice cream?
He said, do you want me to take you?
Yes. And I said...
Well, if you were a crying mess, maybe he was just being concerned. Maybe he didn't want to drop you off at home, leaving you in that state, because what if, like, God forbid, you committed suicide because you were so depressed? Then maybe he felt like he had to calm you down.
Maybe it was just because it was a guy that said it.
Or maybe he was trying to be nice, like damsel in distress, you know, I'll try to help her out kind of thing, you know.
I feel like in this day and age, I'm just
right.
But picture this. What if you were an Uber driver and you had someone who was a crying mess in your car? Would you just want to dump them at home or would you feel slightly responsible, like you wanted to make sure?
I would ask questions, but I wouldn't be asking to take them to get ice cream.
Well, I don't know, but
you
might say
not romantic. It's almost like.
But it's also we're going off the path that you're supposed to take me to stop to a location that now no one can track me. Mm. Get the fuck out.
No, they can track you because he doesn't shut off the app. It just, you know.
Unless he does
shut it off.
Okay, well, then you have a problem.
Then you're probably dead, right?
I had an Uber guy You know how they try to make conversation with you sometimes? Sometimes I want to talk and sometimes I don't. But this guy, he started talking to me about yoga. And he was like, well, do you do yoga? No. Do you do? Oh, I do hot yoga. It's the best. It's blah, blah, blah. And, but so I just kind of, I didn't really give him much to work with. Like I made it clear that I wasn't into really having a conversation. And then as soon as I got inside my house, he texted me and asked if I would like to do a hot yoga class with him.
Wow.
Oh, no. That is crossing the line. Do not ever text me.
I never responded back.
Did you report it?
I didn't even rate him because I thought he knows where I live. What if I report and then he gets mad? Like, I just didn't even feel comfortable doing any of that because he dropped me off at home.
My God.
So I just didn't. I just didn't respond, but I also didn't report.
That's crazy.
I didn't want to be punished for it.
That's crazy.
But that was creepy, especially since there was clearly no signals given on my end.
No.
At all. One word answers. I don't
but
even know what
he looked
for. Look
for this stuff. Yeah. I mean, you know, guys find things, you know, like they would think you're interested or something, you know. It's just like, I don't know. I mean, people start like fantasizing, hey, you know, I could be with this woman, I could be with that woman, and they're already marrying you in their mind and stuff, you know.
I mean, I do that sometimes with guys.
I'm divorcing you in my mind.
Yeah, okay. Right.
Annulled.
No, sometimes I look at guys and I could see like, oh, I can see.
Yeah.
I can see like, you know, 5-6 years down the road with you.
Yeah.
Like
when you just met him, right?
When I just met him. And then 6 months in, I'm like, nah, I can't see. I can't see shit with you.
Yeah.
Because people change over time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, so a guy might sit with near a woman and he might think, well, maybe she likes me, you know, maybe I can do this, maybe
right,
I can do that.
Right.
And then suddenly they're like totally not in the same wavelength.
No,
at all.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
Because sometimes I feel like I come off like I'm really into a guy, but I'm just friendly. Like I know how to like carry a conversation with a man. And I think sometimes they get that mistaken
they
for
do,
me being
because
like,
women don't start conversations like that often.
I have the same thing because I'm a huge dog lover and I stop people on the street
with
dogs.
Same.
And so if it's a guy and I'm like, oh my God, I love your dog. Oh my God.
He thinks he's already got you, right?
Then he thinks that I'm actually flirting with him. When the thing is, I'm really flirting with the dog.
Right. So that's what I'm saying. So it's not expected from women. That's why when a woman does that, you go, oh, wow, maybe she's interested. Yeah. You know, she's going the extra mile or something.
Yeah,
right.
That confusion happens.
It does happen.
I was at...
not that the woman is responsible or guilty or, you know, given the wrong vibes.
Right.
But she's just being outgoing. But that's not the way it usually is. So a guy's going, wow, you know.
Right. Yeah. I feel like I give that vibe sometimes. Like there's this guy who actually texted me this morning. And he was like, I will literally give you $300 if you'll take me seriously and let me take you out. And I'm like, I don't know where the lines got confused between us, but like never in your fucking life is that happening. Like, and at some point you have to be mean because it's like now you're getting annoying.
Well, now he's being disrespectful by
paying. Like, what am I, a fucking prostitute?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. My vagina's tingling. Can't wait. Pick me up at 8.
All right, so we had to back to movies.
Yes.
Back to movies.
Speaking of tingling vaginas.
All right, so what movies are we going to talk about today, Zoriana?
One is, well, Bohemian Rhapsody, which is the Queen biopic, and the other one is called Kindergarten Teacher, which just debuted on Netflix a couple of weeks ago.
Wait,
so
who's
we'll
in
touch
that?
On that? Maggie Gyllenhaal, the sister of Jake Gyllenhaal.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm.
So what do you want to talk about first? Kindergarten Teacher?
I feel like I've seen the trailer for that, maybe.
All right, well, so let's talk about Kindergarten Teacher then, if you feel like you've
seen because she's not into Queen's music.
I mean, we're going to talk about it anyway.
Yeah, but no, because it looks like a very good movie. I mean, if nothing, just the way the guy portrays, Freddie Mercury.
We'll
get
to Rami Malek.
And who's that?
Minute.
Yeah, that's his name?
Yeah.
Okay, because I was trying to figure out who that was when I saw the trailer.
From Mr. Robot.
Yeah.
Okay. He's going to be huge after this movie,
right? For sure. Yeah. All it takes is that one role, and you're like, I'm good.
But it's funny how they give him like prosthetic teeth and stuff, right?
I think we should go back to Bohemian Rhapsody, because now we're on that. Yeah, he wore prosthetic teeth. And
to get the overbite.
And he said he actually was learning to sing with the teeth in.
Right.
He didn't want to learn without it, because he wanted to already have that formation.
So he has to actually sing in the movie? Don't they just lip sync?
Well, yeah, he literally did sing, but they mixed his vocals with Freddie Mercury's vocals and then an additional session singer. So it's an amalgamation of like three people.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I'm surprised they wouldn't just like lip sync.
Nah, I feel like that would make it easier. You can't do that these days. Come on, look at Stars Born, like Bradley Cooper sang. You just, these days, it's not cool to do that.
Mm.
Yeah, everyone, you know, Michelle Williams sings.
So they just learned to sing the way the original was singing.
Oh, by the way, I heard that album was like number one last
week. Yeah, the Star is Born album. Yeah, mm-hmm.
It outpassed everybody.
Yeah, I saw like three or four songs from there, like the top downloads.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, mm-hmm. The thing is this movie and that movie are both singing movies, and people are going to compare them completely because it's about two stars.
Right.
One's a fictitious star played by a real life star.
Right.
One is about a real life star played by a person who's a non-singer. Star is Born is by far a more superior film, like story-wise and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But Rami Malek's performance as Freddie Mercury is incredible. I mean, that he makes the movie. It's, you know, movies tend to be all in the casting. And if you fail miserably in mm-hmm. your casting, you've lost everyone. And he is the reason you want to go see this film. Because story-wise, I mean, you know, Freddie Mercury... The film plays very much like a Wikipedia entry.
Oh, I'm listening.
Saying, you know, this, that, because I'm paying.
Where am I? Oh, this was on the Facebook.
I was like, what on earth is that?
That was us
on Facebook. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I don't know why it started talking all of a sudden. I mean, I just like was checking. But at
the
any rate,
Haunting of Hill House.
We are on Facebook, by the way, guys. If you want to check us out there, too, go to LA Talk Radio's page.
So if you aren't familiar with Queen or Freddie Mercury, they were one of the most iconic rock bands ever. I mean, their Live Aid performance is considered one of the greatest performances of all time. And their songs, We Will Rock You, everyone knows that one. Mm-hmm. Everyone knows Another One Bites the Dust. There's Bohemian.
I know that song.
Yeah.
Killer Queen. Yeah. I love Killer Queen. Do you know that's that was like the first hit.
I know the first two songs.
Yeah. Do you know We Are the Champions?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah,
that's
you
Queen.
Have to know that.
The other songs are kind of similar.
Bohemian Rhapsody, you know, right?
Yes, 7 minutes.
Scaramouche, will you do the fandango?
Yeah.
So basically, the film is like watching a greatest hits of their career.
Yeah, right.
And so if you love those songs, the performances are killer. Like you're tapping your feet. You really get into it. But you would think that if you're going to see a biopic, you would learn something about
that you didn't know.
So it wasn't about his life more?
Well, it was about his life, but it was very safe. You know, the movie's
PG. Was he still alive?
No, he died of AIDS-related pneumonia in like 1991.
Was he gay?
Yes.
91?
Yeah.
It can't be that long ago.
Yeah.
Are you serious?
Yeah. He died in 91.
Really?
Oh, so he was gay.
He was
gay. Yeah, he was.
But that's the thing.
Nobody
knew
in the beginning.
It's like this movie, everyone was expecting that this movie, everyone wanted this movie to really go into that aspect,
right?
Because he was. And he also, you know, he made being like a gay icon cool. I mean, he was really flamboyant, really flamboyant. But this is a PG-13 movie, so everything is very lightly alluded to, very lightly shown. So all that debauchery and hedonism that everyone knows Queen engaged in is not, it's not, you're not going to find it here.
Oh, really?
You're not going to find it here. You're just going to find it you're going to find touches of that.
Right.
And every time you think they're going to go deep, then there's another rock concert to go to.
Yeah. It's probably more of a tribute or something. You know, they made a tribute movie maybe. You know, for them.
It's a greatest hits movie.
Did they show his death at least?
No, it ends with the Live Aid. It starts with the Live Aid performance and then goes back in time and gives you the whole story all the way up to the Live Aid performance.
Do they show him hooking up with other men at all in the movie?
Yeah, they're somewhat.
Right.
Somewhat.
Did he ever have a husband? Anything like that?
You know, the love of his life, which is the name of one of the songs, was a woman named Mary, and he was engaged to her, and they were going to be married.
I'm confused by that.
And then he came out, but she remained the love of his life until his death. He loved her, despite being with men. There, it was like they had a connection when they met in college, and In fact, I do believe that at the end of his life, in his will, she got the royalty rights to a lot of his stuff.
Yeah.
Like two members of Queen.
I can dig friendship like that.
And mm-hmm. that love story is actually really interesting how they explore it, and then how she realizes, and when he says, like, listen, I'm bisexual. And she's like, no, you're gay. Mm-hmm. And he still doesn't want her to take off the engagement ring. I mean, to him, it's a symbol of their love. And she is there for him throughout. But, you know, she ends up having her own husband and starting her own family. But that was probably the deepest friendship that he had. But, you know, his real name, he is Egyptian. No, Rami Malek, the actor, is Egyptian.
Right.
But he himself was Persian. Freddie Mercury was Persian. And his real name is Farouk Bulsara.
Ooh. I had no idea.
Yes.
Yeah.
And in fact, when he died, he got buried in his Zoroastrian faith. Like, he had a whole Zoroastrian religion that he followed, and he was buried in that faith. But the movie, like, see, in the film, you really get to know Freddie Mercury, the rock star, but you don't get to know Farouk, the real person.
Mm. See, that's annoying. I feel like I want to know, like, if I'm going to watch something on, like, somebody I, like watched while I was growing up, I would want to know.
Yeah, you won't. But the thing is so many young kids don't know Queen, regardless.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, all these young kids at sport games are singing We Will Rock You, but they have no idea how
where it came from.
Yeah.
And,
so,
yeah.
In a way, I don't mind this sort of paint-by-numbers movie, because it is fun. Everyone knows the song, and it's kind of fun to see how those songs came together.
Right.
I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it. But you're not going to get the real story of Queen. You're just not. You're going to get the fun.
Okay.
Story.
Well,
they might not make a lot of money
for entertainment.
I don't know if they'll make a lot of money.
I think it will. You know, they have a big.
I mean,
following.
If you think of maybe an older generations will go see that. I don't think anyone my age is gonna be like, I'm going to see that movie on a Friday night. I just don't see that happening.
You don't see that happening.
No.
It's
hard for me. Yeah, it's hard,
like,
for me to tell,
especially when you're like in competition with, like, the new Halloween just came out. Everyone wants to go see that.
Well,
like,
and here's
but
the
it's
other
for
thing.
A different audience. Yeah. You know, what can I say?
Yeah.
You know,
but people will inevitably compare it to A Star Is Born, because that's the other movie that features a lot of, you know, concerts,
both
concert performance based movies. But Rami Malek is amazing, and I wouldn't be surprised if he got a Golden Globe nomination, because he really, really inhabits.
Yeah, and he carries the movie.
Oh,
obviously.
He's entertaining. He's so entertaining. Wow. The mannerisms, you know, he won an Emmy, I believe, for Mr. Robot.
He's a star of Mr. Robot.
Yeah. And by the way,
he's very unique looking.
He went to Notre Dame High School. Right there across the street
is where he
grew up in Sherman Oaks. He went there, and he has an identical twin brother.
That's cool.
Yeah.
I love twins. I think twins are the coolest.
Well, of course you would.
I know. But it's so weird.
It is weird. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It is really weird. Sometimes people always ask me, what do you think your life would be like without a twin? I was like, I've never had that thought.
Wait.
Because my whole life.
You have a twin?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Identical?
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Or fraternal?
She's we never took identical. The test.
They look very much alike.
Yeah. Like our baby pics, I don't know which one is mine. I don't know who I am.
Yeah. But you don't have to be fraternal to look alike.
Well,
you
know? Look at the Olsen twins. They're fraternal, supposedly. So.
They're like identical, though. Like when one is in a movie, I don't know which one's playing the part.
Yeah, that's what I mean. I meant when they're not maternal, they could still look the same.
Right,
you know?
So we might be fraternal. I don't know.
So do you ever put on a hat and your sister goes, oh my God, I look so good, and then takes the hat off your head and puts it on hers?
No, like, but we tried to switch classes in like high school and stuff. But Gabby didn't have glasses for a long time and I did. So the teachers always knew when I was in her class, so I had to put my glasses on.
Really?
Yeah. And they would never let us be in the same class. The principal always called and said, we can't have the two together.
Really?
Because we're like a lot together. Like it's a lot.
Is she here?
No. She's coming to visit though. Oh, in 13 days. And I have a countdown.
So are you going to send her here on a one day and just and not show up and see?
No, no. We're
going to
be here together. He'd be able to tell though.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. I had no idea.
But I'm going to bring her in, put her on air like one day.
Yeah. That'd be fun.
That's amazing.
So Queen, man, let me just do a little tribute to them, because I'm crazy about them, you know? And this is still my favorite song. He's got such an overbite, huh?
Yes.
You don't know this one, Danny?
No, I know the song.
You know? It doesn't get old.
My parents listen to that.
I'm sure. She's like my parents. She'll make us feel young, you know? Why not?
He's so unique. He's yeah. really, truly unique.
He really is, you
to
know?
To me, the movie's a recommend. I guess I just, if you go into it with the expectations of you're not going to get the true behind the scenes, mm-hmm. it's not behind the music. It's the music.
Okay.
It's the Wikipedia entry that you read. This is where it starts. This is where it ends. And okay. great music in between. If you accept that, I think you'll
I
have
I can
a good
take
time.
That and maybe we can pick up a biography book on him and learn
go.
More about him. You
maybe
know?
Sales will increase.
But,
maybe
yeah,
people
maybe,
will download more of his music afterwards.
Yeah, maybe yeah. they didn't want to lose the audience in the story or something.
I feel like
know?
That's how you get the audience. Though.
That's
like,
true, though,
the
right?
Straight Outta Compton. They yeah. did all. There's like five members of that, and I feel like we got like a lot of each member.
I know, but when you're dealing with a movie where your lead singer was a closeted gay, and two of the producers are the bandmates, they're gonna do everything they can to kind of be very protective of his
right.
image, and they're not gonna want all that debauchery
right.
and
right.
information
right,
out there
right.
because then that kind of I'm sorry, but being gay is still a very controversial negative aspect here in the United States of America. It's not accepted.
Which is crazy.
Yeah, so if you really were going to make a true story, you would focus on that. It'd probably be R-rated. And remember, this movie's PG-13.
Right.
So you don't want to upset the people in middle America who may not want to admit that their favorite rock star was gay.
That's crazy.
Right. Now, let me ask you this. Where... his real bandmates in the movie as band members?
They
like
hired
Brian
actors.
May, they hired
yeah,
actors.
Yeah,
no, they're
so
older.
The real,
yeah,
that wouldn't make
that's
sense.
True,
yeah,
right?
I was like,
yeah.
He's
well,
going to be mad young and they're
going to
be like,
them.
In the back, like, hello.
Come on, they put makeup on them. They can make it
but,
look
you know,
younger.
There's great scenes on how some of those songs came together because I think it was Brian May who sang Figaro. And then,
yeah.
and then so Freddie Mercury was like, higher. And he's like, Figaro. And he's like, higher. Yeah. Figaro. And so you see how that starts developing. And Mike Myers plays a record executive. And he's like, no one's going to play this song at 7 minutes. No one's going to play it. And they have this big argument and they basically tell him to F off and they leave. And then, of course, the song's played for 7 minutes and everyone goes nuts. But, you know, radio airplay can't be more than, you know.
Than 3-4 minutes.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, but the thing is that song, because it's got different parts to
yes.
it, then it can carry you and it's still interesting
yes.
after 7 minutes.
That's,
yeah,
that's way too long.
Yeah, but you know,
I
you
think
don't,
Justin Timberlake
don't
did a song that was 7 minutes.
Minutes
and I was like, what are you doing?
Which one was that?
I don't know. It was so long though.
But this one goes from opera to rock
exactly.
to
it's
electric.
Like different,
yeah.
you know. That's why they call it Rhapsody,
yeah.
you know. It's like sort of like a combination,
yeah.
Yeah.
Mm. yeah.
Collection. Mm.
And everyone loved it. That's the thing. It did
yeah.
get played.
Right.
Over
right.
and over and over again.
Because it was
again.
Different, too,
yeah.
you know. Very different. I
yeah.
mean, the lyrics are fantastic
yeah.
in there, you know. Half of the stuff you don't
yeah.
understand what it is.
Yeah.
But,
right.
you know.
And the We Will Rock You was a response to, they noticed how fans would sing along to a lot of their songs at the concerts. So then they decided that they really wanted to show their fans how much they wanted to give to them. And so We Will Rock You was their intention to create an interactive experience
right.
so that the band and the fans had a song for them.
Right,
like,
right,
together.
Like an anthem
right,
or
right.
something,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, so that it would yeah. be a shared song. Yeah. And that was cool, seeing how that came about and stuff like that. So little things like that, like the behind the music,
yeah.
how that came together was really cool.
Very cool.
I'll be honest,
okay.
I'm never seeing it.
All right, well, we beat it to death anyway. Let's
yes,
go on to the next
exactly. Well, Kindergarten Teacher. This is the one with Maggie Gyllenhaal, who plays a kindergarten
she
teacher.
She was Maggie Gyllenhaal, whatever.
Gyllenhaal.
Whatever. I knew I just botched it. Whatever.
Okay.
She is the one that replaced Katie Holmes in Dark Knight Rises,
yes.
correct? I find her so unattractive. I find her hard to be a lead in a movie because she's so unattractive to me.
She...
Like when she got killed in Dark Knight, I said, bye.
Really?
But had it been Katie Holmes, I would have been more devastated.
Wow.
I know that's fucked up, but it's true. She's just not good looking.
She does most, yeah. she does a lot of indie films, and she's a terrific actress.
No, she's a great actress.
Did you see her in Secretary?
No.
It was the S&M movie with her and James Spader.
I would never want to see her in an S&M movie ever in life. Fuck out of here. Are you kidding me?
That's why they put her in a movie like
that. Oh, my God.
She's not a likely one.
She's a lead in so many indie movies, and she's fantastic. She did the one with Jeff Bridges where he played the rock star. Remember, he was an alcoholic rock star, and she played his girlfriend.
Yes.
And Jeff Bridges was nominated.
I don't remember that one.
I remember it. I just
I love Jeff Bridges, though.
He was nominated for an Oscar for that movie. I can't remember what it
was. I think he's so
sexy
for an older guy. He's aging so great.
You know, he is very sexy.
Yeah, he is. He's good looking.
So in this movie, it's an English language remake of an Israeli film that came out in 2014.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Now you're going to watch
it. I like it.
Now you're going to watch it. Go ahead. So she plays a kindergarten teacher. She's been a kindergarten teacher for 20 years. She is married, but it's kind of like a stale marriage. She's got two kids who are in high school, and they're so wrapped up in their
life.
Phones and technology, they really don't care about her. So she is taking this adult education course about poetry, it's like to sort of do something more meaningful. But she's not a good poet, so like her teacher doesn't even think that she's good. So one
that
day,
sucks.
Exactly. So one day, this five-year-old kid in her class starts reciting something to himself, and she starts writing it down, and he's like, he's writing poetry.
She steals this kid's shit.
Well, she's convinced he's a prodigy because the poems that come out of his mouth are incredible. So she starts writing it down because he's too young to write, and she's trying to tell him, you know, to remember them. And she talks to his nanny, and she's like, "You have to start writing this stuff down." But nanny doesn't care. She tries to get in touch with his family. The mom's out of the picture. The dad's a nightclub owner. He doesn't really care.
Right.
But in the writing down, yes, she goes to that poetry class of hers, and she decides to try out his poems on the class, but she passes them off as her own.
What a asshole.
But the teacher then, of course, praises her. Starts an affair with her too, of course.
Wow.
But she takes up this kid as her personal cause. She is convinced that he is a prodigy. She starts taking him out to these poetry readings late at night. The dad freaks out, so he pulls the kid out of that school into a different school. She kidnaps him from that school, takes him to a lake resort. I mean, she becomes crazy obsessed,
like
creepy obsessed. He is her cause. He is like her reason for living now.
Okay, and how does this movie end?
Well, it doesn't end well for her.
Oh, okay, so she ends up dead.
It can't end good.
She gets a boot.
I mean, you know, there's no sexual stuff happening.
Oh,
there just isn't. It's just that she is so misguided somewhere along the way. Encouraging a five-year-old student who has talent is different from kidnapping him and thinking that you are the only
pushing
one
him into
that
it.
Can do this. It's interesting. It's all very kind of slow and subtle, and the ending is also not. There's no drama to the ending.
That's horrible.
It's not a dramatic ending, but it's not a good ending for her. This just sort of ends without fanfare. It's one of those like, okay, when the cops show up, then the credits roll, and then it's up to you to sort of imagine how things unfolded.
Well, I'm definitely not watching that one
either. Okay, Zoriana, come back with two movies. We're almost out of time, Zoriana.
Okay,
tell people. Thank you so much for that.
I'm
definitely going to catch the Freddie Mercury movie.
Yeah. I think you'll like it, Sam.
Especially if you're a fan.
You'll have a
good time. You're a fan, so.
I'm a fan.
You'll have a good time.
Yeah, for sure.
I think you should see that. I'm not.
I will.
You know, do you sing, Danny, at all?
No, but you know what? Everywhere I go, people are like, "You're a singer, right?" I'm like, "No." And they're like, "You look like a singer." I'm like, "I for sure cannot sing. I wish I could. But even if I could sing, I don't know if I would want to be famous for it."
Why?
I just don't think they live great lives. Like, it just seems so stressful and tiring and not what I would want to do.
But it doesn't mean if you sang, you'd be that big. You know what I'm saying?
Well, you can sing
and still
just
be
try
like,
karaoke first.
Exactly.
Yeah. Start with that.
Well, no, karaoke I can't even do because I'm terrible. I cannot hold a note or I have no rhythm, harmony, nothing. I like to sing in like the car.
In the shower.
There you go. That's the best
Scrub-a-dub-dub.
Amazing in the shower. The acoustics, I got
to
tell you.
I know. The car, me too, because I can't hear myself, just the music.
Yeah. So funny.
Zoriana Kidd, thank you so much. How thank can people you. Find you online?
They can find me on all the social media channels as Zoriana Kidd, Zoriannakit, for Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter.
Sounds good. Look for her. She knows what she's talking about. And
next
thank
week
you
we'll have new movies.
Scaramouche, Scaramouche.
Yeah, we'll do the Fandango. All right, everybody. Yeah, well, maybe next time we'll recite. We'll do the whole song.
Yes.
No, definitely not.
7 minutes of Bohemian Rhapsody.
Yeah, rapping.
And I'll be asleep while you guys do that.
All right, everybody. Thank you all for listening. Thank you, Danny.
You're welcome.
And see you all tomorrow.
All right. Bye.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Danny, only on LA Talk Radio.